Do you remember a time in your life that you thought you were going to die? Have you had one of those moments? Amen. Yeah. You see, I remember the first time that I rode the Orient Express at Worlds of Fun. Anybody remember that one? Oh, when my stomach tried to come out my mouth, I was sure at the bottom I was going to die. That was it for me. After I learned that I could live through it, I rode it over and over and over again. But at that first moment, I thought death had found me. I also remember the summer that my next door neighbor's cousin came to stay for a couple of weeks. She was so wonderful. So wonderful. I'm sorry, honey. She was wonderful. We fell deeply in love at the age of 14 or 15, and I knew she was the one. And when she had to go back home after her weeks of sharing time with me, I was just sure I was going to die. My end had come, right? Whether the danger is real or perceived, it causes us to fear, doesn't it? We find fear in the midst of it. How are we ever going to live through these things in life? Fear for our lives, fear for our poor broken hearts. That's where the disciples were when Jesus was crucified. Their fear was justified because their leader had been killed, and it was easy to imagine that they would be targeted next, that they were maybe on the way out. And what did they need? What did they need? Well, they needed rescuing, right? But, church, they needed some precious time with Jesus. That's what they needed. And it's the same for all of us. Last week we noted that precious time with Jesus brought an end to confusion, right? When you spend time with Jesus, especially in his word, it begins to help you understand the truths, and you're not nearly as confused about how things go and how things work. But that precious time with Jesus this week, we're going to see, can bring us peace, right? That's part of the necessity of that precious time with him, is that we would be renewed in our state of peace, our tranquil place, even in the midst of great troubles. Could you all use some peace in your life right now? Well, then turn in your Bibles, because that's where you'll find it, in John chapter 20, and rise with me in the honor of the reading of our text today. Our scripture will be John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. I'll be reading out of the ESV, which is my habit. You can follow along in your scriptures as you see fit. God's word says to us today this. Again, John 20, 19 says, on the evening of that day, that's the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this study in your word. And I pray, Lord God, that you would bless it as it goes forth, that it would change the hearts of many here, those who may watch it online, and maybe even as you've changed our hearts, Lord, that we would go out and share this message with others. All of those who struggle to find peace would find peace in your Son, Jesus Christ, that permanent peace, that peace that can pass all understanding. And so, Father, we ask you to guide and direct us in this time. I pray, Father, that you would be with me as I speak your word today, that it would all be true, that I would not step outside of the bounds of what is orthodox and right according to you, and Lord, that we would all be blessed as a result of it. You do a mighty work amongst us, Lord. All of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. In the absence of their supernatural leader, the apostles hole up out of fear, right? Our text in John 20:19a, the beginning says, on the evening of the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So that gives us, sets the tone of this visit, right? They're afraid and they're sitting in this upper room and they're trying to figure out what to do next, where to go. John and Peter had seen the tomb. They'd come back. They'd shared that with them, but they're still, what do they do? How do they go about this? Jesus had given them a lot of instruction, but maybe not enough practical saying, here's what you do going forward. The doors are locked. They're thinking about what has taken place. They're afraid to go out and do anything. And folks, that's a lot like us when we get fearful, right? When we get afraid, we hole up. We cordon everything off and we get away. We get away from the needed help, maybe, of our friends and family. We cordon ourselves off from the help of the Lord. And we get to planning and plotting in our own mind. We begin to solve our problems, if you will. Do you feel some ways like that happens to you, right? When you get just overwhelmed with it, you just have that issue. Maybe your fears don't even come to the point of death, right? You don't have to get that far in to where you get that fearful, but just a place of fear, maybe even of the constant antagonism of sharing your faith, right? If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have antagonists, and sometimes you're just in those days where you're like, man, I just don't want to say anything because it's just going to lead to a conversation that's going to be ugly and blah, blah, blah. And you get to where you start to withdraw and retreat and lock the doors, right? And wait for something else to happen. If Jesus is going to create a band of evangelists to sweep the world with the gospel, if he's looking to go out and create this kingdom, he has to help them settle their nerves and get control of those fears. He's going to have to set them up in some way that they can go out and do this work. Because these same fearful ones are going to go out at Pentecost and preach to the Jews in Jerusalem where they could easily be killed for it and lead thousands to the Lord. So between this moment and there, Jesus has a work to do still that he's obviously going to do. And so I find that the perfect recipe for dealing with fear is to add a heaping helping of precious time with Jesus. Amen. It's not your natural thing to do. I know it's not. It's not mine. It's hard to get that in your priorities, if you will, but the first thing that ought to be done, we say it all the time when something happens. Yesterday, we're driving the truck, going around doing the garage sales, and the transmission starts slipping a little bit, and like, panic, and what do I do? Well, first we decide, well, we'll go home and get the car instead and not drive this, and that way we don't get stuck. And then as I'm garage sailing and buying Hiram's vacuum, if those of you who heard the story today, as we were doing that, I start plotting and planning, right? I'm thinking, okay, Ted probably doesn't do transmissions, but I can take it up and see if it has to do with the brand. Blah, 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 blah. I'm running 1,000 miles an hour. I'm not a mechanic. I can't fix it. But I'm trying, because that's what we do. How long do you think it took me before I sat down and said, Lord, I don't know what's going on with the truck, but it'd be cool if it ran, right? It'd be great if something happened and we could fix it and whatever. And so it's not the natural reaction, but it's the needed reaction. Because for me, at my stage in my faith, where I'm at today, it has value in the sense that once I step into that realm with Jesus, and I have that moment where I go, Lord, I know that you know, and I know that it's going to be okay, I'm instantly okay. I'm able to spend 50 cents on a vacuum. No more, but 50 cents we could do. The disciples needed Jesus, just like we need Jesus, right? They needed him to be present there. And so when Jesus shows up with them, we have in our text the second half of that verse, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Isn't that great? They're scared, they're worried, they're frightened, they don't get what's going on and whatnot, and we won't talk about it. I'm not going to get in some of the weeds today that we could get in because there's a lot of weeds in this passage. If you want weeds, here's a plug. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we'll have a Q&A study. You come ask me and we'll talk about it. Today, we're going to stay focused on this idea, but he comes in and he offers peace. He comes in and he offers them peace right out of the gate, steps into their fears and offers it up. He had promised to return to them, right? He said, I'll return to you. To be with them to the end was a promise, so they should know that he's always going to be with them. And he fulfills those promises and shows up in a locked room, which is just awesome, right? It's a great statement of power. His first order of business is to offer them what they desperately needed, which is peace. That's what we need when we have fears. When our fears begin to grip us, what we need is the peace of God. We need God to provide for us peace so that we can begin to function in the ways that we're supposed to function and do the things that we're supposed to do. What do? When we get all wrapped up in our fears and we get panicky? How do we treat people? Ooh, yeah. Yeah, Yeah, it's like me and Phil driving to work during the day, right? It just, when we get all filled up with this stuff, it makes us not respond all that right sometimes. We need the peace of God to come on us and help us to realize that all things are okay. Luke mentions in his gospel that they were afraid when he shows up like this. They're scared of him when he shows up. But John wants us to focus on Jesus, right? We're talking about John. So what John sees in this moment, his perspective is that Jesus comes into this locked room and says, peace be with you. He's making an offer. The disciples needed peace. Jesus offers it. This is a greeting is pretty standard, right? If we go back to 1 Samuel for thousands of years, this has been the standard greeting in their culture, right? Ours is, hey, how you doing? Or hello, or whatever. Theirs really was a shalom, right? It was a shalom, peace. Peace be with you. It says in 1 Samuel 25:6, and thus you shall greet them. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have, right? That's the standard idea, is we want you. Our love for you says we want you to have peace. So Jesus comes offering that standard greeting of shalom, that peace that is maybe a standard greeting, but his greeting is not standard. And I want us to see it in this light today. That he is giving them something special in this moment, because we're going to have a bracket. He's going to say, peace be with you. Then he's going to do something and he's going to say, peace be with you, right? He's emphasizing what's happening. This is not your standard greeting. Jesus shows them then his wounds. He says, peace be with you. And he says, hey, look here, right? It's me. In this way, Jesus is taking a step into this conversation with them. How many times have you all said, hey, how you doing? And somebody breaks off into a diatribe about how they are actually doing. And you're thinking to yourself, I didn't really mean it, right? I was just being kind and gracious, but now I'll sit here and listen to you, talk about whatever. And it's a truth, right? Sometimes you can give a greeting and not actually mean what you're saying. And we shouldn't be that way. We should mean what we say. Jesus absolutely means it, and he proves it. He says, peace be with you. And then he gives them something that they needed, right? Jesus is stepping in. He says, peace be with you. And then shows them that he means to give them peace. Peace be with you. But he says, I've brought it with me, right? I'm going to share it with you as I have promised. And so I want us to see two bases for peace this morning. Because I think he offers both, and I think it would be easy to miss it, but I think that they probably felt it when he showed up in the room. I can't lock you in a room today. That might be inappropriate. But if I could, and get Jesus to show up and have you experience going from that fear to that, the Lord is here. We're going to be okay. I want you to see what that action did when he shows them the hands. The first basis is he's showing them that it's actually him, right? I mean, that's the first important thing. He says, hey, right? Luke's saying they were a little afraid when he showed up. He's saying, hey, this is me. These are my hands. I was the only one besides the two thieves, and they're not here. It's me. Here's my side. None of them had the side. He could have showed his feet, but he shows his side. He says, this is me. This is who I am. It is me, your Lord. And it says that they were happy, right? In our text, it says that they were happy. They were glad when they saw the Lord. But here's the second one that I don't want us to miss. I think this is the important one. And this is where it comes into our lives as well. The second basis that he's offering peace is, he's saying, look at my hands and my side. I was dead, and here I am. Amen? That's a big statement. I was dead, they killed me, and here I am. Now, does that bring us peace? Because it should, right? It should absolutely bring us. I am no longer dead. I am bringing you this good news of the gospel, that I have lived the life that you couldn't. I died on that cross. They killed me for it. They buried me. But on the third day, just like I promised, I am here. What are they going to do to me now? Right? Now when he says, what if we have to fear? They go, yeah, I guess you're right. If they kill us, we'll just rise like you rose. And there is that second basis for peace. It's not the one that we choose often, but it's the one that we should often go to. How often should we say to ourselves, the God I serve rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Even if I die, I'm okay. That's a special peace that only Christians have. So now, right? He shows him his hands and his feet and says, I was dead. Now I'm here. Now he says it again. I love this. He says, peace be with you. Do you get it? He says, peace be with you. How about now? I offered you peace. You weren't so sure. You've been in fear. Now look at these hands. Look at this side. Peace be with you. He says it twice. Now that you know it's me and that I have overcome death through resurrection in the flesh, not just a spirit. I'm not showing up as a spirit. I'm in the flesh. You're seeing my wounds. They could have a new courage as well. And then it's only going to be amplified when he gives them the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and they become gifted. Is Jesus' resurrection enough to remove your fears? That becomes the question. Is it enough? Are you worried about your next paycheck? Your next meal? How you're going to pay for car repairs? How things are going to happen? Jesus was dead, and he overcame death. Can he solve those problems? Of course he can. And we need to recognize it and go, are you afraid of the direction of the country? Just sure that it's going down the toilet, and before you know it, we're going to be living in an economy in a state where the economy is falling apart and we will have no food next year, and that the church, my goodness, it's shrinking everywhere and nobody's loving Jesus anymore. It'll probably go by the wayside. And then we pause and we think, oh, Jesus was dead and then he rose from the dead. I'm quite sure he's capable. So that when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, we can probably go, yeah, he's probably got it. He's got it under control. Everything's going to be okay. It's truly a matter of relinquishing to him your anxieties and fears so that he can then give you the peace that he so wants to give you. Jesus was killed not by one government, but two. Think about it. Two governments came at him at the same time and killed him, hung him on a cross, did the worst they could do to him. They taxed him and he took money out of a fish, right? Whatever. Jesus can control these things. Jesus, while we may suffer the consequences of the prince of this air, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he can bring it. Jesus, this is interesting, Jesus didn't hold down a job for 3 years, all right? He was, and I don't want to say unemployed because that's not really the truth, but he was doing ministry and reliant on people to just help him out as they went. And somehow, he did just fine. He did just fine. Didn't have a leak in his roof because he didn't have a roof. He was fine. Somehow he was just fine. And he's made several promises to us that are of great value that can allow us to have peace if we will just accept it. But this peace that we're given then, church, once we have it, once we overcome our fears with this peace, it's a peace with a purpose. There's a reason that he gives this peace. There's a reason behind it. He gave them peace, but it was for a greater purpose than just to bring them comfort. Hear me. Right? It was good for them that night. Yeah, they had peace, and they had some comfort, and they could go, Jesus has got this. It's going to be okay. But he doesn't stop there. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. We know from Matthew, this is the time when he's going to give them some commission. He's talking to them about, hey, there's work to be done. Have this peace that I've given you. But this peace is not to be kept and hoarded behind this locked door. I need you to do a work. Jesus is going to build his church through these people of peace. They are going to be told that they need to go look in a town here and there, right? They've been told, you need to look in this town, and if you find that person of peace, stay with them until you leave, right? We're looking for peace. You go out and find peace. You give peace to the people who don't have peace. That's our mission. That's our goal. He didn't help us pay off this church and keep the walls in shape and that kind of stuff for our comfort, right? We didn't do this. Those chairs you're sitting in are not here for your comfort. I mean, you get the benefit of it because you have that comfort and you can have some peace in it, but that's not why they're there. They're there so that we can fill them with other people, right? People who need peace. You have peace, you go give it to somebody. Bring them in and give them peace. It's not about you getting your comfort. It's about you taking that comfort and sharing it. He didn't save you from your sins for your comfort. He didn't overcome death for our comfort. It's not the reason. He didn't even send the Holy Spirit for the sole purpose of comfort, right? He says, I'm going to send you the Comforter, okay? And the Comforter comes, and we have the seal of the Holy Spirit on our lives, and that's awesome. But there's a purpose, right? Because he's out there doing work, and he wants you to go do that work. That's why he's in you, giving you comfort and peace so that you can go do the work. Comfort is the product of peace that all of those things bring to us, right? But Jesus had a greater purpose. He didn't forsake his own comfort for ours, but for the sake of the kingdom. Purpose of the comfort for you in the purpose of the comfort you have in eternal life is so that you will not be found singing alone in heaven, right, Mike? You want to make sure that there's a lot of other people that are singing with you. He wants thousands upon thousands and millions upon millions to go to that place of peace and comfort and love that we're going to and share in that with us. That's his purpose. Not to have comfort here, but to get out and get after it so that we can have some great comfort there. So in this sense, he gives us comfort so that we can set it aside for his kingdom. Do you see how that works? I'm giving you my peace. Now go out there where it's not peaceful. And you go, yeah, I'll lay this aside. We all think that we're going to get into the kingdom and we're going to lay our crowns before him, right? That's what we're all going to do that. Yeah? What about here? He gives you a crown of peace, of comfort, so to speak. You're going to toss it at his feet and go, you know what? I'll give it back to you. I'm going to get out and get after this. I'm going to go do this work that you have for me. You can't afford to sit on your laurels as long as you draw breath. You can't simply enjoy the freedoms and comforts that Jesus has provided. I think our country is proof of that, right? When we just sit around and enjoy the freedoms, but we don't go out and share those freedoms, what happens? They start to implode. They start to go away. If all you do is hoard your comfort and your freedom and your peace, it will not stay with you long. You need to use your fearlessness to bring lost souls into the light of the kingdom. He gave them peace, a peace that they have no matter what comes their way. No matter what people say or do, we can have peace with God at all times. And so I just picked out a few because there's thousands in the scripture. You can go and read just about anywhere and you'll find this peace. But here's some easy spots for you to take on this week if you would, and maybe read them over a few times. We want to solve and act when our troubles comes, but if we would, in the midst of that, just pause and believe, then that fear that's clouding our judgment and stealing our peace may go away because we understand that God has something for us. So we'll start with the first one. Psalm 46:10, my wife's favorite, "Be still and know that I am God." That's where it all starts, right? In the midst of your fears and troubles and anxieties, that's where you pause. Be still for just a moment in the midst of the whirlwind and know that he is God. Take a look at Jesus' hands and side if you need to. Just look and go, okay, I know that he is God. And so sometimes, folks, we have to be still to know that he is God. We have to remind ourselves. And number two, Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" If we're honest and our faith is such that we believe it, we know that we're his, who should we be afraid of? What are we scared of? Why do we ever act in fear? If we just pause, right? If you were, you ever watch one of those videos where somebody's hanging on one of those cranes that's out over a building and they're 1,000 miles from down below and you go, "Oh, I could never do such a thing without something..." But in that moment, could you not pause and go, you know what? If I let go, it's going to end well for my body, but I know where I'm going, and it's going to be okay. I'm not encouraging you to hang off of buildings. I'm just saying, when you get in those moments that are stressful, if we would only pause and go, you know, the worst thing that this world can do to me is kill me, and I'm okay. I'm that much sooner to the party. That's the way it works. So sometimes we have to be still to know And then we have to deal with our fear by going, why am I afraid? Why is this causing me such distress and discomfort? Why am I not trusting in the Lord in this moment? He is my stronghold, not the things that I need or whatever else there is. He is my stronghold. And then verse 3, our eternal security, John 10, 28 through 30 says, I give them, Jesus speaking, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. And my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. Think about that for a second. That's a powerful statement. Jesus says, you're mine. You are in my hands. I have you. You are not going anywhere that I don't let you go. I have you. And if that's not enough, my Father's also got you. And there's nobody more powerful than him. You are fine. You are okay. You are in the hands of the Savior. The only ones in this life that should be afraid are all of those without Jesus. Amen? And our goal is to take the peace that we have because of what God has promised us and what Jesus has done for us and go out there and help other people find it. We get afraid to share the gospel because we're afraid the message is not going to be well received. But listen to me very carefully. If that's what you're sharing, look, they're all afraid and they're worried and this and that and the other. And you say, look, I would love to bring you some peace. You can find it in Jesus, and he can give you that peace that passes all understanding. Peace that won't go away. Peace that will stay with you, right? I can't promise you that everything's going to be okay. Can't promise you that things are going to go just peachy all the time. But I can tell you that when they're not, if you know him, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. So what we want to do today is worship the Prince of Peace. We want to worship him as such. We need to recognize him as the Prince of Peace. He came to bring us, the church, peace. He came to bring us that peace, to help us to get settled in our hearts so that we could come courageous and fearless and go out and do this work. The world needs us, church. The world needs you to go out and represent Jesus to them, to share with them this wonderful news that he brought to the earth, to take the comfort and the peace that you have and try to share it with others. And sure, some folks are still going to want to run out there and dangle off a building. Okay. But we can stand on top of it with our Jesus safety harness and go, hey, I can make this a whole lot better. All you got to do is believe in the one who can keep you from falling, or if you fall, can take you home. Do you believe that Jesus has overcome death? Because if you do, you have nothing to fear. Not your cancer, right? Nothing. Not your heart issues. Nothing. There is no reason for you to have worry, because he has overcome death. Like him, you may have to suffer and go through that death experience, but when you're done, you'll be just like him. I'll be standing in heaven going, it's ticking just fine when this one's done. You can do the same because he's overcome death. Are you thankful for his use of power to bring you peace? Because if you are, you'll accept it. Amen? It's a horrible thing to think that he went through all he went through to buy you this peace, to give it to you and to share it with you, that you would not accept it and go ahead and stay in a place of fear and worry and doubt. That would be a shame. Do you need some peace that you just haven't found yet? I'll remind you how you get it. Just a little precious time with Jesus. Just a little is all it takes. A little time this morning that we would worship him and bow down before him and say, I know, Father, that you sent your son Jesus, and I know that he lived for me and he died for me, and I know that I have believed in him, and therefore I'm on my way to glory. And if you can pause this morning and worship those words to Jesus, he will be with you, and he will hopefully bring you that peace. And the only reason you won't have peace is because you're not taking him at his word. For anybody who would watch or listen to this later, who doesn't yet know Jesus, but would love to have the peace that I'm talking about, the kind of peace that takes you into a hospital and says, I'm okay. I would love to be fixed today, but if I'm not, glory. If you want that, you only find it in Jesus. Believing that the Father, our Creator, sent His only Son to live the life of perfect love for all of mankind. That He came and lived it and then allowed Himself to be sacrificed on our behalf, taking upon Himself all of our sins, suffering for us, dying, and then on the third day, rising from the dead to go and prepare a place for us. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we will give ourselves to Him, if we will confess our sinfulness and acknowledge that we have not lived the perfect life, that we are not doing what we ought to, that we are not loving all people, and that we are certainly not loving God in the way that we should, if we can confess that and confess that we believe that Jesus was killed, He died, was buried, and rose again, then you can be saved, and you can be placed in the hands of the Savior, and you can begin to know the peace that God has for you. So I would encourage us all to bow before the Lord God at this time, to worship Him in honesty in our hearts, and to give Him what He is hoping to receive from us as we worship together.